Well, let's give it up for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who rules and reigns over our life. Come on, somebody open up their mouth and shout hallelujah. Come on, let's shift the focus back and shift our attention on him. Hallelujah. I just have to settle in just for a second. Anytime I come back home, it's overwhelming emotionally. I ain't gonna cry, y'all. Good. But just knowing where God has brought me from in moments like this, when we're honoring scholars and youth, I think about my educational journey. And there was a lot of bumps in the road. And just seeing how the youth are being recognized, I heard a lot of things about perfect attendance. And I mean, it just says a lot. Now, you know, being a co-business owner, you need people to show up. Show up consistently and on time. And it starts at school. Now, this ain't even in my message, but I just had to go there just for a sec. There's something to say about perfect attendance. The school year is about to start. You got a chance, y'all. If you never had it, you have a chance. You have a chance. I'm just throwing that out there. Certainly just thank God for all that he's done. I'm not going to talk about my educational journey per se, but I am going to have my wife come up, and I'm going to share a part of my time with her. All the way from, she was actually born, she's an Illinoisan, she was born in Chicago, then her parents moved out to Las Vegas, and so she claims Las Vegas, she still uses GPS in Las Vegas, but it's still home for her. But this is where we met, here in Springfield, and so we both call it home. Will you guys help me welcome my wife, Dr. Jade Norris, MD, if she would come up. You got a microphone?
Amen. All right. Thank you guys for having me. Lord, we just thank you. And this is Scholar Sunday, so I'm just going to be directing most of what I say right now over this direction, if you guys are okay with that. So my husband told you I'm from Chicago. However, Chicagoans say I'm from Las Vegas because we moved to Las Vegas when I was 8. And when they say, do you know 36th and whatever? And I'm like, no. They're like, you're not from Chicago. So I say I'm from Las Vegas. But I started off as a little baby in Chicago. And at 4 years old is when I started telling everybody, I'm going to be a doctor when I grow up. I'm going to be a doctor when I grow up. And some people thought that was cute, to see this little brown girl from the south side of Chicago whose mother was a teacher, whose father was a car salesman, where no one in the family was a doctor, where there wasn't an abundance of finance. They thought that was cute. Okay, she wants to be a doctor. Some thought it was unrealistic. Most thought it was unrealistic, right? And so throughout my journey, I kept saying, I want to be a doctor. High school, straight A, honor roll. No concerns, no question. I'm like I said, I'm going to be a doctor. It was looking pretty promising at that point. Then comes college. I look at the college students. And then there was a major shift. And that's when the struggle really started. High school, it was like extra credit, projects. I could talk my way into an A. But college was, you have 3 standardized tests, multiple choice, and the average of those tests is your grade. And I said, whoa, okay. I didn't have a key skill that I needed to be a doctor was standardized test taking, and I hadn't mastered that skill yet. And there come the struggle. So biology, which was my major, struggled in all my sciences, struggled in all my math classes, calculus. And I said, Lord, you tell me I'm supposed to be a doctor. However, I'm struggling in my sciences. It's not making sense. And God said, trust me. Now the world said, consider being a nurse. Consider being a physical therapist. Consider being a pharmacist. All amazing fields in the medical field. However, God told me doctor. So it wasn't making sense. God said, trust me. So I continued through. I struggled my way through. Graduate with my biology degree. I have to take this test called the MCAT. It's a test that you need to get into medical school. I study for it for a year, you guys. I study for it, and then I take the test, and when I tell you the score was so low that it was almost as if I put my name in and handed in the test, I was devastated. No medical school in the country would take me with a score that low. God continued to say, trust me. So I did some research and I heard about post-baccalaureate programs, medical post-baccalaureate programs. There were 5 in the country at that time. There was one called MedPrep in Carbondale, Illinois. It was supposed to be the number one medical post-baccalaureate program, which helped students of color prepare to get into medical school. So I applied, but they said there will be 5,000 students applying and only 20 students selected. And I said, okay. Well, to me, Carbondale, a C/Illinois equals Chicago, Illinois. So I said, well, it's in Chicago. I'll be all right. Maybe it's a suburb, but you know, I didn't Google it. But my dad and I fly into Carbondale, Illinois, and I see cornfields, overalls, and Confederate flags. And I said, okay, I'm not in Chicago. This isn't what I remember from 8 years old. God said, trust me. I walked in, I interviewed for the program. I was selected as one of the 20 out of 5,000 applicants. Now, I want you to get this. Once we get accepted to the program, and that clap was for God. Lord, we thank you. So once I get selected as one of the 20 of 5,000, we had to do a welcome meeting one-on-one with the program director. So I'm sitting in front of him getting welcomed to the program, and he looks at my scores, and he looks at me, and he said, we don't even typically interview students with scores this low. How did you even get an interview? And in my mind, I said, well, God. And so it just made sense to me. So I say this to you, that your calling is your calling. If there's anything I can ask of you guys, is to follow your calling. Not what the world says is your calling, not what makes sense to the world, but what God put inside you to do. Follow that. And then I want to say to you, He will see you through the journey. But that won't mean the journey will be easy. I want to tell you that the journey will have setbacks, failures, challenges. Life is going to happen. I had to make a decision along my journey to either go to my grandmother's funeral or to take a test that I wouldn't have been able to change that test date, which would propel me forward in my medical journey. My family told me your grandmother would have wanted you to take that test. These are the kind of decisions you will have to make, but God will see you through. So then comes residency. So we get into medical school. Get into medical school by God's grace, struggle, struggle, struggle all the way through, to the point that there was a test I had to take. I missed the test, passing it by 2%. They tell me I have to repeat the full year. So medical school for me was 5 years instead of 4. It was humiliating. Everyone knew I failed. In medicine, you're expected to be perfect. God said, keep trusting me. Now it's a testimony, right? And so then we go to medical school, and what I didn't share is that the blessing that came out of being in Carbondale and Springfield for a total of 7 years is I met my husband, who led to my church family, who led to our children. So even when it's not what you asked for, I asked for California and God said Carbondale. I didn't know why. I said, did my prayers not register? What happened here? But there was a reason. My husband was in Springfield. So we migrate our way back to California. He did hear my prayer. He just said it was gonna be residency instead of medical school. So residency, we're in California. Everybody tells me, if there's one advice I can give you, don't get pregnant during residency. It's the hardest. They work us 80 plus hours, okay? Night shifts, day shifts. Your time is not your own. And they said, if there's one thing I can tell all the women who want to be doctors, don't get pregnant during residency. What do I do? I say, hello, my name is Jade. And right away, here comes Carlos and we're pregnant. So I'm on rounds, taking care of patients, running to the bathroom to vomit, coming back like nothing happened, back pain, who cares? You do what you have to do and God will see you through. No excuses, trusting Him. It's uncomfortable. but we're trusting him because our calling, my calling, was bigger than me. So medical school happens, residency happens. Now it's time to sign a contract. I'm a board certified physician. My husband's excited. I'm finally about to get a check because he's been helping me this whole journey through financially. Hallelujah. And God tells me, no. Don't sign any of those checks and sign up with those established hospital and get that automatic income. You open up your own clinic. Come on now. Now, I have to go to my husband, who's now waited 8 years for me to get a job, okay? Stood by me after every test I failed, crying and praying over me, and say, no, I won't need to be taking that 6+ figures. I'm gonna just open up my own clinic with no money. And so I pray with him, we go to conferences, we look into the business model. God told me that he would not only bless the business, that we would be able to open it without any loans, that it would be profitable, and he did it, and he did it. When I tell you that the four-year-old from the south side of Chicago who says she wanted to be a doctor is now standing here as a board-certified family medicine and obesity medicine physician, owner of Inspire Primary Care, serving patients around the world, speaking on stages around the world, promoting health around the world. It is not me, it is him. The girl they said, it's impossible. The girl they said, you're doing too much. The girl they said, you need to either be a wife or be a mom or be a business owner. The girl who's doing all of that is because of God. It won't make sense to other people. It won't make sense to other people. Do what he's called you to do. It will be hard. It will be challenges. There will be setbacks. There will be struggles, but he has you. I love you guys. Thank you.
I don't have to do too much. I think you can do altar call. We ready to head on out. But just so you all know that it's not a motivational talk, we are going to read a scripture. And then we'll go there. Hallelujah. Wow, I didn't know you had all that. But read this verse with me in the book of Galatians. Paul writes this. He writes this letter, and in this particular passage, I heard Trey already quote this one. But Galatians 5:1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free, and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. I like another version reads that, and be not entangled again. That word entangled, there was a funny statement, gifts and all types of stuff that was out there about an entanglement, right? So let's not get entangled again. It lets me know that we were once there before. But because Christ has set us free, let us not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Look at somebody and say, we're free. Oh man, that person didn't say it right. Look at somebody else say, we free. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We glorify your name. Thank you for your freedom, Father. Thank you, Lord, just for such a release that you've given the people of God. Such a freedom that allows us to express and share the goodness of God no matter what's going on in our life. Help us not look to the left or to the right, but Lord, help us to look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. God, we focus in on you. We put our attention on you. It's all about you and all that you've done on Calvary Cross. But Father, thank God you rose on the third day, Father, that we may be justified. Thank you for the completed work. We glorify you. Thank you for our freedom. Thank you, Lord. We pray a spiritual release in this place. Some minds have already made up their minds already right now, Father. I thank you. Go into the hearts, go into the minds, go into the homes. Father, deal with the finances. Some are waiting and thinking about, you know, how is this going to be? God, thank you for the release out of the heavenly into the earthly realm. We pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, baby. I help you. The completed work. I want to come from just the theme of freedom. I want to come from a subject, just very simple, called release. Everybody say that with me, release.
Release.
As my wife was talking, and this wasn't even part of an intro, but it just made me realize all that God has brought us through. And I'm going to move according to the Spirit. During her journey, it was a bit uncomfortable because I'm in this too, y'all. I'm in it. I'm not taking tests, but I'm there. Before she opens up the email, pass or fail, I'm there and I'm thinking, Lord, now you say it. But I can't show her, you know, I can't wear my emotions on my sleeve and all through that. But what I realize is that when we talk about faith, faith grows. The faith that we have now to open up a practice and to declare and decree is going to be debt-free. We ain't taking out no loans. We're going to do this. And at that time, when we started the business, she was expecting our second child. When we moved from Springfield, I was making less. We moved to California. The cost of living had doubled. And in some sectors or areas of our standard of living, it was even almost tripled. It didn't make sense on paper, but yet we believe that we heard God say a certain thing. And in fact, when she matched to Loma Linda, California, Lord had already showed me where. It said California. I went and had a cake prepared on Wednesday of the week, and it said, you know, it showed a little airplane going to California, and the cake was in the form of California. You're talking about some faith here. That's on Wednesday. On Friday, she opens up an envelope, and it says, match, congratulations to Loma Linda, California. Now, I'm not sharing that, be like, oh, good job. What I'm saying is that it was uncomfortable. And all I'm trying to let you know is that when God shows you something, when he gives you vision, and all you hear is no, you experience rejection, your faith will be tested. He said, well, maybe God didn't say. But I'm here to let you know if God said it, he's not a man that he should lie. He will go. The word that was sent out will be accomplished. It will happen. It may not happen in your timing, but it will take place. In the book of Luke, and we're going to come back to Galatians in a second, but in the book of Luke, the 19th chapter, I want to share this story. It's near and dear to my heart. I really like this. Typically, when we talk about this particular passage, it's dealing with Jesus riding into Jerusalem. And this is what we call Palm Sunday. This is the Sunday before we celebrate the Resurrection Sunday. And so this is this great triumph into Jerusalem. I'm going to start at verse 29. We're going to read a few verses here, and then we're going to get to it. I got a couple points, and then we're going to let God continue what he's doing in our hearts. Verse 29, as he came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying that colt? Just say, the Lord needs it. Verse 32, so they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying this colt? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. Can I let you know that whatever you are tied or bound to, whatever God has already released you from, no one can put shame in your face about it because it doesn't matter. I want to give you the first point. The first point is whatever you're tied to, it doesn't matter. Can you say that with me? Whatever you're tied to, doesn't matter. Isn't it interesting that people will bring up your past? People will bring up, I remember when. It so happened this weekend celebrated my 30th year class reunion of when I graduated. So my graduated class was 30 years ago. And sure enough, you know, you do a little, hey, what's up? Good to see you. And a lot of people I didn't recognize, even when they gave me a name, I was like, I'm so sorry, just escape me. You remember when? No, I really don't. And then a couple people I did recognize, and they came up, they was like, man, I remember when, and I'm like, yeah, I remember when, but look at me now. Because, and that's not from a conceited standpoint, it comes from a place of, it's interesting how people will remember you from back in the day. But I believe God has given us an opportunity to rewrite our story. So when it goes, I remember when, yeah, but do you know me now? And sometimes people will connect you with the past, will connect you with how you used to move and how you used to act and how you used to talk and how you used to dress. I thank God for this generation that's coming up now. I believe the fashion industry is in good hand. I heard some people that are going into fashion. I believe that the medical industry is in good hands. And thank God for the pulpit. I heard some folks that are really sold out for God at such a young age. I believe that ministry is in good hand. Come on, y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm a big sports fan. I believe the sports industry is in good hands. Can I let you know that all that God has placed inside of you, that there's nothing man can do. So what do you mean? You know, they stopped this person. They preventing this. And you know, my wife testified about her test scores, and you know, how did you even get here? It's not going to always make sense. The Bible says in Revelation, the third chapter, it says, lo, I place before you an open door that no man can shut. And what door I shut, no man can open. Can you, I don't care if, you know, I don't know what happened, man. I got the end. Just, you know, just give me your resume. I'll slide it through. I'll do this. And it doesn't happen. You'd be like, you know, well, I thought I was a shoe-in. Well, that's not what God has for you, because what God has for you, he has for you. Look like somebody been to Sunday school, I heard. I like the prophet Jeremiah says in chapter 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. When you put our trust in man, the human, they may mess up. They may be looking out for themselves, but God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a plan, to give plans to give you hope in the future. Let me move to my second point. The second point is that when we talk about this colt or this young donkey, which the Bible doesn't give us his name of the donkey, right? But I believe his name was Jack. His last name, don't go there, y'all. Come on. But the coat that Jesus rode on was never praised or glorified. Watch this, y'all. When God sets us free, he always gives us an assignment. He said, go into the town or to the village. You'll see a coat tied up. Loose it, set it free, bring him to me. We're loose, we're set free. When we come to Jesus, Jesus immediately employed him. Or employed, we don't know if it's he or her, but we employed him. Jesus, for this very moment, we don't even talk about. We just know that he rode in on a donkey, right? What God is freeing you from, just know that it's not about you. I hope y'all catching this. Sometimes when we get to a stage or to a place, we feel like, you know, I've been set free. I'm doing well and all these types of things. And next thing you know, our chest is all out here. And God is saying, it's not about you. God could have used anything to ride into Jerusalem, but yet he chose something. The Bible says, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. He says, I've chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. In other words, confusion has to take place in the earthly realm, because in the heavenly realm, there is a way that the kingdom of God operates that it doesn't make sense in the earthly realm. That's why when he taught his disciples how to pray, he says, pray my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it already exists in heaven. See, heaven already has it mapped out for you. But when we pray God's will be done, we're saying, Lord, let it manifest in the earth how you want it, how you already have it marked out. And unfortunately, in my flesh, I fall victim. Sometimes I try to pray, my will be done. Lord, I hope it's your will. Lord, please let it line up this way. Because, Lord, if it just, I mean, because I could get so much done if I had this or if I had that. And, Lord, you know me. You trust me by now because you set me free. And God is saying, no, pray my kingdom come. Pray my will be done. Because, Carlos, the finished work, the finished plan is already accomplished. It's already done. So play my will. You'll never go wrong, son. You'll never go wrong. The Bible says in Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. The thing about it is, we have to be careful of the flesh because the flesh wants to be glorified. The flesh wants to be, you know, a pat on the back. Well, they didn't acknowledge me, you know, and I did all this and look all that I've done. And if they didn't, you know, consult me, it wouldn't be. And God said, you know what? You're just a vessel. I can use anyone. You're just a conduit in the earth. I can flow through anyone. I can use a donkey. I even use the burning bush. You ain't got no mouth. And believe it or not, if you refuse to praise me, I will let the rocks cry out. Can I let you know that it's not about us? It's about Jesus. This is a good section. Y'all better get with it over here. This is a good section over here. But it's important for us to know that God has set us free. He's placed us on a path to, like I got to give it to you how God gave it to me. Set us free, set us on a path to do his work. The donkey was just a donkey until Jesus sat on him. We're just mere mortal people, right? Until the Spirit of God is inside of us. Your business, your finances, your health. I mean, we can do so much. But when we allow the natural to get consumed with the super, we become operating in the supernatural, and no longer is it about us. So the donkey's tied up to whatever you tie. We're tied up to a thing, and you can call me Jack today. I've been Jack before. I've been tied up and tangled up. And it's interesting how God sends people to untie. Because there's some things that we're entangled in that we can't let loose of ourselves. And we need someone to come beside us and help us through this journey. Am I talking to anyone? Now, this is just not a message to the young folk and to the youth that are coming along in their journey. But this is just for the pure in heart and the people that realize that I would never be where I need to be unless God sends help. We will never arrive until God sends some help. Thank God for government that they have a body to come alongside of them and help them along. You can't be in 10 places at one time. And if you are, you're a bad mamma jamma. That's why Jesus said, greater works will you do, because I go into the Father. Jesus, when he was in Capernaum, he was in Capernaum. When he was in Jerusalem, he was in Jerusalem. When he's on the Sea of Galilee, he was there. He couldn't be in multiple places at multiple times. So therefore, when we go out and spread the gospel, we're in multiple places. While I'm preaching in Las Vegas, someone preaching here. While someone fasting and praying, you know, down in Carbondale or in Edwardsville, up in Chicago, wherever God is calling you to, greater works shall we do. Because he goes to the Father, and he has sent us out to do the completed work. I got to close this down. But I'll paraphrase, this is not in the notes, but I was reading and just studying how those who prepare messages, there's always so much, you know, that's given to you. You got to strip that down. Even from that strip down, you got to strip even more down. But I realized some of that was for me and one for y'all, so we didn't share that today. But what I do want to share is in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. You don't have to turn it if you can, or you can just mark it down. Immediate team, you don't have this, so don't panic. This is a story about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were on a missionary journey, and they were going out preaching the word of God. And in this particular region, this particular area, there was a woman who was possessed with a demon, and she, you know, dabbled in sorcery. And she cried out, you know, these men are here, you know, to preach about Jesus and get you saved. You know, she's blowing the spot up, if you will. And even with this, Paul, you know, after days and days and days, he has enough of it. And he cast the devil out of it, you know, and she was set free immediately. And we're saying, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But the people that were benefiting from that was in uproar. Now, how dare you? We was making a lot of money off this woman. She's bringing us great gain. Can I let you know, when God sets you free, it's going to cause you to do things that's going to be very unpopular. People are going to talk about you. They're going to run your name through the mud. But the Bible says, blessed is he. Blessed are they when they speak all manner of evil against you. When they persecute your name, they drag. Blessed are you. I know it doesn't feel good. It doesn't look good. Ah, I've had my name had my character assassinated. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't look good. And there's times there's still residue from that. But blessed am I. I think I'm doing all right today. And so they got so mad that they took Paul and Silas and took them before the court. And they beat Paul. They beat him down real good. But that wasn't it. They arrested them and put them in maximum security. I'm just paraphrasing, because they said they was in, you know, they had a watchman on this side, a watchman on this side. They couldn't get out. They were shackled. They were chained up. They were bound up. You talk about freedom, because when they were arrested, they were still free. Catch what? Well, how? They were arrested. When they were bound up, they were still free. There's areas of freedom that God is calling us to, because we focus in on the physical, and the physical is only a byproduct of what's going on the inside. That's why the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds. They were so free in their minds that it led them to sing praises and worship God in the darkest period of their life. I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but you could be experiencing a dark moment, but God's saying that my spirit is so powerful, but that even though it looks bad, it looks bleak, it would give you such the freedom that you would begin to praise. And it's not about, Lord, free me. I'm not sure what song they were singing. I'm not sure what worship song was playing on the CD. All I know is that they were worshiping God. And I can see them bound and chained up, couldn't have get their hands up. But their praise, their worship brought them to a place of peace, because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That word liberty means freedom. So no matter what you're going through, no matter where you're at in your life, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I've got to close down, but I got to give it to you how God gave it to me here. I don't know how earthquakes are formed. I tried to look it up on Google. There's no way I can paraphrase all that. And I didn't want to read it. All I know is something's happening within the earth's crust. And there's some stress created in these discs that are happening. And when that stress happens, that pressure happens, something happens, begins to erupt, and we begin to feel the effects of it. I feel the pressure that tries to come upon the people of God. Yeah. And our praise begins to combat the pressure upon us. And therefore, the Bible says a great earthquake came when they begin to praise God. Can I let you know how powerful praise is? Can I let you know how powerful worship is? I was talking to somebody yesterday. Praise and worship is not a song, but it's a position in your heart and in your mind. praise and worship is just not, you know, I like this song, I like that song. It's about being in the right place with God.